Hello and God bless you. Please turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. In our last session, we began to cover some of what the Bible tells us about our dual natures. Our ongoing individual struggle between the old fleshly nature and the new heavenly nature is a microcosm of the entire creation. The cosmos appears to hurtle towards chaos in the grip of evil. Yet, the heavenly fullness of time of redemption is nigh. Even now, the forces of heaven are afoot, preparing for the appearing of the One from heaven, the One who has defeated the darkness. There is great hope. The victory is assured. The victory is already ours. He has given us the victory. We have been endued with His power to pilot our fleshly vessel through the stormy straits of evil. God has filled us with the Spirit of Christ so that there is absolute hope. In the power of Christ in us, we can renew our minds, tumbling down every stronghold the flesh has built. It, however, does not happen in an instantaneous flash. All of the fear, motivations, misinformation, knowledge, and emotions that we gathered as an unbeliever do not just go away when you are reborn into God's family. The old man is still slinking around, waiting to take control. And he will take control if you allow him to. However, if ye then be risen with Christ, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. As an unbeliever, before we were born again, we walked, that is, lived our lives entirely in the flesh. Everything we did, thought, and felt was selfish and directed entirely at our personal gain or satisfaction. Fear was the deep and persistent instigator of our actions and thoughts. Any kindness or benevolence we extended towards others was driven by our elemental fear of not being valued or loved. The evil acts of mankind can all be traced back to the rage and despair that rises out of fear, which is the basis of the old fleshly nature. Unregenerated society is held together by the fear of adverse consequences for certain actions. We call it the law. The law of the land is followed because of fear of punishment. The basis of the thou shalt not laws is the punishment of non-compliance. Fear of punishment drives compliance. The narcissistic nature of natural man requires a fear-based control to keep the strong from devouring the weak. All religions and governments rely solely on fear of punishment, may it be ever so subtle, to keep order. only the indwelling Spirit of Christ lifts us beyond fear. The love of God casts out fear. The love of God exists only in and can only be manifested by the Christ in us. Truly, the only hope, the only solution, the only peace is in Christ. God, in His infinite mercy and grace, has chosen to lift us up and place us in the most holy and exalted place imaginable, in Christ. Yet, our old nature is unchanged and remains in the realm of fear. Our Adamic nature cannot on its own escape fear because it is constructed of the elements of this world. All the characteristics of a fear-based being are still there. Anger, wrath, lies, doubt, lust for power, and the rage that emanates from perceived loss. Counseling couches are filled with people paralyzed by the walls of rage that the old nature has erected. We all have perceived past insults and injuries that our old nature demands vengeance for. And yet, there is hope. Our new nature, Christ in us, delivers the love and mercy of God that overcomes and casts out fear. Christ in us empowers and creates a new nature in us that is not based on fear, but on the all-powerful love of God. Our new nature, our heavenly nature, firmly and forever anchored in heaven, in Christ, has the power and might, the patience and mercy of God. This new nature is the premise, the crux, the purpose of God giving His Son as the sacrificial payment in full for our redemption from the old Adamic nature. This new nature is the real us, the forever us. Our choice is to live in the old stinking dungeon of fear or to live in the mansions of love, mercy, and grace of God. We can seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, not things on the earth. We have been empowered to choose. We can choose to put on the characteristics of Christ or the characteristics of fear. Paul writes to us in verse 8, "But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." God is not a man that he should lie. He is altogether faithful. If he says he will do it, he does it. If he tells us to do something, we can. Don't think for a second that the old nature can accomplish this. We can do this because he has empowered us to do it. His instructions come with a power pack to energize the job. We're plugged in. We have Christ in us, and he is up to the job. Verse 10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." In the renewed mind of our new nature, in the body of Christ, there are no distinctions of race, creed, gender, young or old, rich or poor, because in the new nature there is no fear, no hate, no rage, only love and mercy. As God's elect, we are able. Verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As the new spiritual you steps forward out of your old nature's comfort zone, the old man starts to whimper and whine. It's real easy to just shrink back and let the old man win. Your new man insists, but your old man whines. In another situation, your old nature reacts with anger and seeks revenge, but the new inner man is at the same time looking to forgive. I'm sure you are familiar with his quandary as Paul described it in Romans chapter 7. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So what are we to do as believers? Do we just let our old nature run amok and sin at will? How do we begin to manage this old self with the new self? The answer is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The new man is energized by the Spirit of Christ in us. As our new nature begins to walk in Christ, Christ manifests through us. Here in Colossians chapter 3, Paul describes the put-on, put-off dynamic. This is not the old performance-based religion game of acting holy. It's not an act. The old man can put on an act of not being selfish, but it's just a sham. Have you ever watched people, or maybe you can identify yourself in this, have you ever watched people walk away from church to their cars? As they get further away from the building and closer to their cars, their shoulders begin to relax. They take a deep breath and slip into their car where they can be themselves and not have to play at being holy. It's the old nature putting on the "look at me, I'm so holy" show. That is certainly not what Paul is telling us here in this chapter. The new man is not capable of acting like it's holy, because it just is holy. The old man is not holy, and no amount of acting can make it holy. These verses, and many like them, are used extensively by the performance-based religion theologians to tell their followers how they should act to become acceptable to God. Unfortunately, when the old nature toils to achieve good works, it always ends in scandal. Selfishness cannot be hidden for long. When the old nature approaches these verses, the result is religion. Verse 8, but now you also put off all these, anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. Here is the key to the put-on, put-off dynamic, the renewed mind. Our old nature responds naturally to the pressures of the world and conforms itself to societal norms. The answer is to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Being transformed is to go through a metamorphosis, which is an inside job. Now, before the little caterpillar spins her little cocoon and takes her nap, she fills herself with all the leaves she can possibly hold. After the cocoon is spun and the little worm sleeps, the metamorphosis begins and is completed quite without the help of the caterpillar. She wakes up transformed into a beautiful butterfly. We stuff ourselves as full as we can with the Word of God, and then God energizes and transforms us. It's not of works, lest any should boast. We are not in a juggling contest. The mind is the battleground between the old and the new nature. That is where we put on and put off the things listed here. Our actions and emotions are secondary events that happen as a result of thoughts. Our mind becomes renewed as we think on the things of God, place the written Word of God in our mind, and Christ in us energizes us with revelation knowledge. As God energizes His Word in our mind, the fleshly imaginations come crashing down. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where? In the new man, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In the new man, that is, in the renewed mind and the body of Christ, there is no earthly race or nationality. We are new. We are part of a heavenly race created in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the elect, the beloved children of God, chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. God bless you.